This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. May your every New Year dream come true.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside. Painted candy canes on the tree.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, Merry Christmas. It's that time of the season. In fact, that I'm releasing this podcast here today on Christmas Eve, and I wish each and every one of you around the world a happy holiday, and I hope that it's most joyous with you and your family, and you're having a great time. And this season has been filled with joy, happiness, and lots of bookings, so that way that you've entertained and given joy to a lot of other people around the world as well. Well, this year we're going to have a revisit from my friend Murray Sawchuk, who has his own afternoon show at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas, Nevada. He has been playing out there for 1 year, and it was this time last year in which that I had visited with him over the telephone, and he had just moved from the Aladdin over to the Planet Hollywood with that afternoon show. Well, he happened to be coming through Houston actually on a little bit of a holiday. He's been one of the busiest working guys, at least trying to promote himself. And he was traveling with his friend, who is actually the maitre d' for his show, and is involved with other shows as well, like the Rat Pack Returns there in Las Vegas, Mr. James Ashburn. And he and James had gone down to go on a cruise ship out of Galveston, and as they were passing through Houston, had a little bit of time, and so they stopped by the microphone here just to visit for a little bit. So we get to chat with him a little bit today. But on this episode, it differs from last year, whereas that Murray was talking about his situation and moving from one hotel casino to another. But more importantly, he talks about the use of the social media, that is Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and other kinds of things that some people use very well. He does, certainly, which is why that he's gotten his status as, quote, celebrity magician. And it's something perhaps that you could use too. It's absolutely free to be able to use that social media to go out and to promote yourself that way. And the difference, of course, between publicity and promotion is that with publicity, you're going to have to go out and try and find a hook, or what is it that might make you different from somebody else that would be of interest to the news media to want to have a story about you or publish something about you, as opposed to promotion. With the exception of social media, most of it's going to be costing you some money. That is, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to place some ads. You will have to take some photographs and go to a lot of extra time and effort, as well as some expense perhaps, in order to promote yourself. But by using the social media, that you can really become a star in your own area and perhaps beyond, because of the Facebook fans and everybody else that you get. And Murray talks a lot about that. In fact, he's got a special workshop that he's going to be offering early this next year, which he talks about towards the end of this podcast. In addition to that, of course, many of you know that he has recently gone through a divorce from his wife and assistant, Chloe, who has moved over to another magician, Chris Angel. And that he talks a little bit about that in the podcast then as well. Well, lots of stuff to talk about over here. And I think you'll enjoy this holiday episode with Murray Sawchuk and James Ashburn here on The Magic Word.
Wishes you and yours, everyone.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com. And we're here at my home in Houston, Texas. And we're recording this along with the Murray Sawchuk, celebrity magician. Isn't that what you go by?
That's what I go by, whatever you want to call me. Hey, you works. I've been called a lot worse.
A lot of things worse than you.
Of course.
And accompanying you today is John Ashburn, James Ashburn, sorry.
So close.
He's the J.
That's right. I just met you today because you were a friend. You'd come along with Murray because he was just getting off of a cruise ship and the two of you guys were out. And so you operate his room, is that right? Back in Vegas?
Yes, maitre d'.
You're the maitre d' then,
yes,
for the thing. Okay.
Try to keep him out of trouble.
Yeah, lead maitre d', runs the showroom and that.
Celebrity maitre d'.
Yeah.
You do magic then also then, James?
No.
But you did work as a
demonstrator, you said, with Harry Allen back at Daytona Magic?
14 years old for a couple years, yeah.
What was that like? That must have been kind of in the heyday also.
It was fun because, you know, back then I liked Magic.
Was that back in the day? Yeah, right. Until you met Murray.
Yeah,
exactly, right.
And it was fun to, demonstrate Magic and sell Magic to people, you know, coming in and you see their faces and you know, how you can... You know, mm-hmm. little kids light up and stuff when you do little tricks and things like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I would think also that being in Daytona, you have a lot of tourists. It is a big tourist destination.
Very seasonal,
now,
yes.
What was it like during, let's say, spring break or something?
Insane.
Really?
Yeah. Spring break is, it's not as bad now as it used to be because they kind of lost it to different areas. You know, people go to different places now. But back when I lived there, it was very crazy. And you couldn't find donuts or beer in the supermarkets because they would just come in
anywhere
and
in town.
They'd buy all the beer and all the donuts. That's what they lived on for 7 weeks.
I wouldn't have thought about donuts. I would have peanuts or something.
Donuts, sugar high, right?
Now you say that people stop buying Magic. I guess is not because the brick and mortar shops are disappearing, but it was just, I guess, they can buy it online, or maybe they're not interested in Magic as they were before. Or what do you think? Why was that? I mean, why do you think that they are not? You said it wasn't as. They're not buying as much Magic as they did?
No.
Oh, okay. Misunderstood what you said.
No, it's just
not as popular for spring break.
Yeah, spring break. Other areas. You know, that wasn't our market. But,
oh.
You know, but the Harry Allen, the Magic Shop, you know, they do a lot of online, and, you know, that's their big.
Right. I know that they depend a lot on online, as do a lot of other Magic shops around the world. I say shops, not necessarily brick and mortar shops. You know,
right.
I had a podcast about that a while back. It was entitled "Bye Bye B Y E B U Y," brick and mortar shops, because it seems like there are fewer and fewer of them. They seem to be kind of disappearing. So you work as a maitre d' then and seating the guests.
Maitre d' and slumlord.
And slumlord.
Yeah, it's a lifelong dream.
So you got
finally made it.
Does that mean that you are the one who holds the lease for the property?
Well, I own rental properties.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Murray, you there are several things I want to talk about over
talk
here
about
today.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good. I know. I do know you.
And so, the floor is always.
You are a person whose life is, when I say an open book, I mean I can't imagine anyone else. Who is more open than you, and not only have it out there, but willing to talk about it. You know,
sure.
Too. And you post everything all the time then, too.
Yeah, every 2 hours. If I don't, somebody thinks I'm dead. I mean, if you're like, did he lose his phone? Yeah, no. It's true, though. I love social media, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that was what I was going to, one of the things to talk about is how would you, what would you recommend for other magicians as far as how, you know, what social media they should get into, which is more important than the other, you know, is it Instagram, is it Tumblr, or, you know, whatever kind of social media that you feel like you might get more exposure than the other that you would recommend for others who might want to.
Well, you know, I think I was just talking to James about this on the cruise ship. I think what's really important is to really embrace it. And I know the older you get, it's harder to change, and it's harder to grab new technology, you know what I mean? Whereas obviously when you're younger, you kind of grab stuff because you're built with it in you, you know, because when you're young, you just grab it and go, like we all do.
Right.
And then you get to a certain point in your life, you realize what you need in your life, and you go, I don't need that. This is my life. I'm happy with what I'm using. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact with social media, it's free. You know, you can make a Twitter account.
Right.
You can make an Instagram account. You can make a website now, not for free, but pretty much close to it if you really need a website. But I really think all that stuff's so important, and learn to use it because it's free marketing. You know, to hire a publicist, you can't get a publicist any cheaper than about $3,000 a month, mm-hmm. up to $15,000 to $25,000 a month. And we're talking to Tom Cruise publicists, you know, those
right.
kind make a, you know, charge a fortune. And when you can't afford that, the beautiful thing is it's right there at your fingertips, you know? And so I always tell people, get an Instagram account, get a Twitter account, And obviously try to get a website if you don't have one, because those are three things you really need. And the reason why I say you need it is because fans love to follow you. And even when people say to me, but I'm a really private person, mm-hmm. like Lefty, for instance, my guest actor on my show, he has none of that. I run his Facebook page. He doesn't even run it. Mm-hmm. He'll send me stuff to post and then I'll put it on there because he's very private in that. Well, I'm really private as well. Indirectly though, people don't think I'm private because they see everything I'm posting.
Right.
The interesting thing is I post what I want to put up. the other stuff, you never see what I'm doing or mm-hmm. where I'm at. You know, you can always skew it to a direction. Well, you're doing something over here. You can post over here.
But misdirection.
Exactly. So there's a lot of stuff I do in my life that nobody knows anything about, and they will never know about because it's my private life.
Sure.
You so don't want to see that.
So, so it's one of those things where I think it's really important. And I always say this. People always go, I don't need that. I don't need this. And I said, here's how I govern if you need something or not. If CNN is using it, then you should use it. That's my kind of stamp. I think if it's good enough for CNN, it's good enough for you.
Because, how do you determine that? I don't understand what you're saying.
Because they're a national news source. Yeah, yeah. You know, they talk about the world and politics, whether you agree with them or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it's good enough for them to use, it must be popular enough that it's having a reach mm-hmm. that they're willing to use it. So if they're willing to use it, and they're a massive national news company sharing things of the world, good and bad.
So they're different, and, listening you know, than ETV or something that is.
Well, they're
be
good too, but I'm just saying, I'm just using something a little
social
more.
Social media aspect.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, when you see CNN, they go, hey, go check us out on Facebook and go check us out on Instagram or
Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry,
I see what you're saying. Sure.
You know,
sure.
If they have it, mm-hmm. well, it's got to be good because they're one of the best news sources in the world. I mean, there's, you know, there's all sorts of news sources, and there is the entertainment. All those are going to have it, but I kind of pick something like the Globe and Mail or something that's mm-hmm. so, you know, neutral, you know, indirectly in the sense of non-entertainment. They're right. just sharing, supposedly, what's out there factually, you know, as always, give or take, if you like CNN or not, or Fox News, everyone
right.
has their
Whatever.
Opinions. Sure. But my point is, if they're doing it and you're just a small little magician in a small little town trying to make a buck, then it should probably good enough for you.
Yeah.
If CNN's doing it, it's good enough for you, and I've always said that, you know.
Well, just like we were on the beach in that little shack having tacos and a beer, and it's yeah. just like us on Instagram.
Yes.
Really?
And
it's
yes.
a little
in the middle,
Mexico,
of nowhere.
Yeah. middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's free advertising. It costs nothing.
Right.
And you can put a post. And whenever I do shows, I get really ticked off at magicians. And I learned this from Terry Fader, the ventriloquist at the Mirage in Vegas, who's a dear friend of mine and very successful. And he started doing it, and I thought, yeah, you know what? Why don't I do that? And I started doing it years ago when he started doing his show, because everyone always sneaks cameras in, all our videos in, and everyone says, please don't videotape, and we all have this mentality, because back in the day, it was really, oh, you can't see it anywhere, because
right.
we wanted to hire you to see what you do. The only way to see that is to hire you.
Right, live.
That whole world's changed now, because, you know, there's so many YouTube clips, and it's better for them to see you, because if they like you, they're still going to hire you, you know
right.
what I mean? You know, like comedians, you know what I mean? If you're funny, they still want to see you rehash the jokes, because you just want to see Carlos Mencia, or you want to see whoever's touring, you know, because mm-hmm. it's their personality. So when people are sitting in my audience,
yeah.
of course.
Yeah.
And so I always say, if you're in the audience, you know, you want to take pictures, you want to take photographs, you want to have a flash in your camera, it doesn't affect me, you know, and I didn't do my hair for nothing, you know. And I say all those lines, and here's, you know, 100 to 200, because my theater in Vegas only holds about 250 people, and there's 200 people every day leaving my theater.
Right.
And if 10% or 20% or 2%
yeah.
go out with a photograph of my show, they Twitter, they put it on Facebook, sometimes use a profile picture. It's free advertising. It cost me nothing. They actually paid to come see my show, to take your picture with me or of my show, to then go and post it on their Facebook that has 5,000 friends. You can't yeah. buy that kind of publicity. So I always tell people, put your ego away. You're not that great. Let them take a damn picture of you. Yeah. Put it up on Facebook or Twitter and get more fans. It's yeah. all about that. That world's changed. It's not 1983 anymore.
It used to be bumper stickers.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
If people would drive around, they would advertise that.
Sure.
I remember when we went to, as I was a kid, and we would go on vacation to Merrimack Caverns or some places mm-hmm. in Missouri, and we would come back out, and they would have stickers that the place had put on the car.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't buy
well,
the, I mean, that was
something. It was just.
Yeah, it was on your car as sure. you were leaving, so they would have you advertise, sure. and my mom would always rip those things off. So
sure.
I'm not advertising. They're not paying me to advertise for them. So
that's how my dad is.
Is that right?
I'm not wearing a shirt with a guy's name on it. You
know,
it's like, he didn't pay me.
Yeah, of course.
Speaking of which, that reminds me, I had heard Chris Angel, I think, say once that he didn't want to have his picture taken next to another dead magician, let's say like by Houdini or Alexander or whomever, mm-hmm. right? Because it would make it seem as if that he wanted to be more like that guy rather than like himself.
Right.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, just kind of an interesting
yeah.
perspective.
Everyone has their own perspective.
That's right. So whenever you're going to be having pictures that are posted, he didn't want to have pictures posted as like, I want to be like this guy because he
sure.
is who he is, you know.
Of course.
And so I'm just saying that whenever that you are choosing your photos or whatever that you're going to be posting, it should be going along with whatever that your idea is for your brand. And you need to identify who you are first.
Yeah, and I've always said this, speaking of brand, like you said with the whole poster getting a picture beside, if this, you know, if it's, you're getting a picture beside Harry Houdini and that, if they're passed away or gone, I understand that mentality. But if they're already dead, there's no competition. But still, I do understand that, unless you're doing a historical kind of thing, or you're doing something like on the Pawn, like I do on the Pawn Stars, you kind of got to tie things in. But what's in, I always tell people when they do a press release, I always see things like sometimes in testimonials, oh my God, you're better than David Copperfield. Or I didn't even see David Blaine do that. And I've always been against, even though it's a good testimonial, these are two people that are more famous than you in that article. That it's a press release or a biography of you that you send to clients.
Yeah.
The only name they should see in that bio or testimonial is your name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It should be, wow, great, amazing. They don't need to see David Blaine's or Copperfield's. They already got enough press and they're already famous enough. So it's very important, unless it's your parents and it's a really deep biography. You know, you want to start in magic, Mr. and Mrs. and so-and-so, help me, or my sister.
Right.
Who that's understandable. But if you're putting other magicians within your own news release, you don't need any other name that's a magician except yours. You know, mm-hmm. I've always, even though there's some cool comments you get, oh, better than Copperfield, wow, it's the best. Well, yeah, but
interesting.
They're saying you're better than Copperfield. We know you're probably not better than Copperfield. Let's just be real. You know what I mean? He's phenomenal.
Right.
Even at his worst, he's still better than our best, you know?
Sure.
So I've always been that kind of a believer that always put your, you know, put your name in there and write, you know, you can take a part of that quote and go the best,
right?
Quotes or amazing quotes. You don't have to.
That's right. You should. Yeah, that's a good point of kind of editing those quotes as well, because we get those all the time. It's like, well, you're the best magician I've ever seen.
Yes.
Well, how many have you seen? I mean, that begs the question.
Of course.
Well, you're the only one. Well, great.
You know. Narrowed it down. Doesn't yeah. Of course. Yeah.
And so with that, that again, that it is free, but going back to my original question, I guess, among those, what do you find that you have the most responses as far as either followers or people who will get back to you? I mean, is it Instagram? Is it
Well, you know what's
Facebook?
Really, the most that I'm getting most response for now and over the last 6 weeks, because I did a new campaign, is YouTube.
Really?
I've been doing YouTube videos the last six weeks with a team in LA, and it's been absolutely mind blowing. I met these guys; they met me through Instagram. They said, "Hey, we got to make some videos." Here's the story. Didn't know them, and they Instagrammed me and
stalkers.
Yeah, exactly. And said, "Hey, we should work together. Your video should be going viral." So I wrote them back saying, "Yeah, that'd be great." And then I private messaged them. I said, "Yeah, we should work together. What do you do?" And let me know. And they wrote me back saying, you know, we've been watching you for the last 2 years. We've loved all your videos on your YouTube, but no one's watching them. I'm like, well, thanks for that ego boost. Thank you. Okay.
You're doing a great job.
We love what you do, but everything you do should be going viral, but it's not. We could really help with that. This is what we do for a living. And so I wrote them back, so, well, send me a proposal. What can we do? Well, how do we make my stuff go viral? Wrote me a full page, what it would cost, what it would do to, like, shoot videos and that. Mm-hmm. Really reasonable. And I was playing Jackpot, Nevada, which is near, and it's anything but Jackpot, Nevada, but it is a sweet, quaint town between Twin Falls, Idaho, and Boise, Idaho. And, but it is in Nevada. It's like kind of.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, right just there. So, I'm up there working for 4 days and I'm going back and forth. And the guy said, yeah, we really want to work with you. I said, great. I said, well, I'll get you guys into town. And here's a down payment for you guys coming in shooting.
And you had the ideas of what you wanted to have them shoot?
They wrote the ideas already to me. They said, here's what's going to go viral. They knew exactly what was going to happen. I never met them.
Yeah.
I didn't know who they were, if they're 70, if they're 17. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So they get to Vegas. They said, we're coming in Monday. We're going to shoot Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll be home by Thursday. The video should go up in about 2.5 weeks. We'll shoot 4 videos. Great. What do you want to meet? Downtown, 10 o'clock, Main Street Station. We're going to shoot the first one down with a police officer with a vanishing wine bottle. I said, lovely. I'll meet you down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring my stuff and park my car. I don't know what they look like. And it's just me on the corner. So I'm walking down there. I see two kids. And I mean kids because they could be my kids. One guy's standing there with a t-shirt maybe he washed like 3 weeks ago and a hat backwards and a backpack. And he's got this cute little girlfriend. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is the production crew?
Yeah. Just two guys?
Yeah. And I just walk up, shake his hand. He's like, yeah, hey, I'm Seth. Pleased to meet you. This is my girlfriend. I said, pleased to meet you guys. You ready to shoot? I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do this. I'm in.
Sure.
I don't, you know.
You already committed at that point.
Exactly. And they both look, he looked like he was 18, she looks like she's 14. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And he's actually 23 and she's 21.
Mm-hmm.
And we go and shoot. He opens his backpack, pulls out these gorgeous cameras. They're like high definition, $8,000 cameras.
Yeah.
Proper mic. The way he ran the production was better than most of the high-end shows I've ever been on, the way they run their production.
Wow. You've been on a lot of stuff, too.
Oh, I've been over 100, you know, 100 shows and 100, over 22 reality shows. So I've, you know, it's fair to say I know what I'm talking about. So he hooks me up and says, here's the deal. cop coming this way. You're here. He's going to come down this year. You see him coming. And it was a random cop.
It was.
Yeah, I saw the video.
Yeah, okay,
okay, yeah. Yeah. And it just hit yesterday 40 million views. Can you believe that? No, that is the population of Canada. That's everyone in Canada seeing it.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
The whole country.
40 million. And so we did it. We did it in probably 18 minutes. We shot the thing. The guy finally recognized me at the end of it all. And we gave him some free show tickets and that. And he thought it was great because he was an actor. He really was.
It seems genuine. Yeah.
No, no, it really was, yeah. And we did the thing, and of course I knew what I'm doing. And that was it. And then we shot three other videos, and literally every video we posted now has gone viral because of these guys. Because they've been doing YouTube since they were 12 years old. They live in Santa Monica, about three blocks from YouTube. This is their world. This is the world I never grew up in. They live in it.
I don't understand how you do that. I mean, there are a lot of guys who have some great videos out there. Mm-hmm. They're short things, and they seem... But what is it that makes one thing pop and another one not?
It's almost the same thing in New York City. The taxi cabs and the garbage in New York City and ships docking and undocking. If you tick off the wrong person, guess what? There's no garbage being picked up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cabs picking you up, and ships can't dock in the port.
Okay.
It's very underground.
It is, yeah.
And so you tick one person off, guess what? The whole world stops. And I remember they did that about 12 years ago in New York City. They stopped picking up garbage for 4 days. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
I think Giuliani was in when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it showed... Mm-hmm. The government and everyone going how much power they did have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the internet world, it has the same power. You have the right people that have the right connections, that have the right followers, that have the right information. You can drop something on a feed that has a lot of subscribers and a lot of people. It's two things. It's like being on Ellen DeGeneres,
mm-hmm. yeah,
or being on your local morning talk show here in Houston.
Yeah.
Same talent, really good interviewers. They're probably just as good as Ellen, you know what I mean?
Just happened to, mm-hmm.
But the minute you're dropped on them, Ellen has a massive reach instantly,
right.
Literally instantly, because she's Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And the people here, I'm sure they're famous and they're very good and phenomenal, but their reach is just smaller because of their brand and knowledge. Same with YouTube and same with the internet and Vimeo and Vine and all these other things. There's certain people producing stuff that have followers that are absolutely phenomenal because they've been doing it since it started.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you can catch up to them because they've had it since it started. So your follower list or your subscriber list can never be as big as them because they've been doing it since it started. And these people have a lot of power in the business because even corporations can't keep up with them because you can't buy followers because followers are people that really are intrigued by what you're putting on your channel or on
mm-hmm.
your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can buy them. There's many sites you can buy followers so it looks like you have more. But they're dummy followers. You know, it's an outsourced company in India buying names and doing all this. And you can buy them easily. A lot of people do it.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, you always know if somebody buys names because when you put up a video and say it says a million views, right?
Yeah.
You can buy views as well. But say it says a million views and only 9 comments. There's no way you're going to have a million views and 9 comments. It's impossible. It's not the way humans react.
So on the 40 million that you got, there must be just tons of comments.
I think it came to 22,000 comments.
Holy moly.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's unbelievable. We just released this, our last video, or two last videos, was the homeless one for Thanksgiving, where it was a shopping cart empty.
I haven't seen that one yet.
And we walked up and empty shopping cart, met the guy for Thanksgiving, and he's a U.S. Marine. And I said, hey, sorry that you're home. You know, things aren't looking up for you. So there's always 2016. And can I borrow your blanket for a second? And we were on a street corner. Threw the blanket over the shopping cart and covered it. And I said, hey, I wish you the best. And this is a little something for Thanksgiving for you. I said, I hope you can use it. And, you know, God bless you and love you. Take care. And I walked away. And when he pulled the cover off, it was heaping full of sweaters and food and everything for Thanksgiving for him.
Wow.
So, and that just hit just over 11 million views a couple of days ago.
And that just came out around Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it came out
just
two,
like
two
a week or something.
Ago. Yeah,
so. Wow, that's amazing. Now, these guys obviously are not related to, like, the guy who owns YouTube or the inventor of that. It's not like a son or something, kind of thing.
No,
it's just they've had
kids
these
have been doing it since...
Organically.
Yeah.
Yeah, since the opening day.
Yeah. And they're good people and they're smart and these kids are, you know, and I say kids because they are. That's who's running our world right now of, yeah, you're right, because
the digitals.
And the corporate guys who are in their 40s and all that, who have money and power, it's hard to control that because these are kids making ridiculous videos. I mean,
mm-hmm.
stupid videos,
mm-hmm.
but they're getting massive viewership.
Yeah.
And when you have that viewership, that's what you need. It always goes back to advertising. It's always about advertising. If there's no advertising, there's no money.
Yeah.
It goes like that for sports. It goes like that for commercials, news, everything. If there's no advertising, there's no money. So,
mm-hmm.
as you know, every time you watch YouTube, you click on that, can you skip it or not ad?
Right.
And the more views you have, the more actual better ad you get. You
right.
know what I mean? So when you're starting out, they're not as good. And, you know, they say on average, every 1 million views, equals $4,000.
Well, now, in advertising, that kind of gets to where you're actually making money on this thing then, too, because in ads, you're usually paying to have advertising. In this case, they're paying to advertise on these sites or something, or how do you actually monetize this?
Well, the way it works is you have your site, and if you have a site that's really rolling and people like it, YouTube.
You say site, you mean a YouTube video.
A video or a channel. You need a channel. You need to set up properly. It has to be one that, you know, is generating, obviously, a high turnover of videos, and you know, it's almost like owning your own TV channel. It's like CW or whatever. They got
Once you see one that has, you got to watch a commercial before you can
watch
the video.
Yes, I see that's right.
They're making money.
Sure. And the way it works is basically YouTube. It's YouTube, and it's free to put up content, and then people go to YouTube and say, "Hey, I want." It could be GMC or Chevrolet, and goes, "Hey, I want my videos only on videos or subscriber lists that have a million subscribers, and their videos do 20 million views each video." So they have a list of the top people, and those obviously they're paying a lot more money to be on, because they instantly a video comes up, people are going to see it.
But do those come on your video automatically, or do you have to agree to a license or something?
You got to agree to licensing and them doing it and set up a pay program, which my guys have done all that. I don't know that detail as much because
they just send you a check?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
And they're partnered up with me, but they're tied with YouTube and they know how to set this all up. And so YouTube gets the ads, they drop them wherever, whatever. Videos they like.
So they were kind of just using you in order to monetize these videos. So they're making money, and you're making money.
And
everybody's
happy. Back, and they're getting a check from somebody, and then we're getting a piece of it down the way. And it's like any business, you know, it slowly goes down the chain. You know what I mean? So, so that's kind of the way it works, and it's something new I started last 6 weeks. And perfect example. Not going to believe this. First time I'm sharing the story publicly. So we're in Santa Monica. We shoot the homeless video. It went really well. The guy was super cool. And we did it in real time. He really was a homeless vet, not an actor. He really, the vet thing I didn't know until he told me. It was, you know, even nicer.
Yeah.
And he took the food and I said, make sure you don't throw it away. Give it to anybody who needs it. Don't just, you know, pick what you want and leave this thing. I'll give it to people in need, you know.
Yeah.
So then my producer and his friend, and his friend's like 20, can't even buy him a beer yet. And we go to his house. He's driving a brand new Tesla. I'm like, nice. And we pull into his apartment, small little apartment, one bedroom, one bath apartment, Santa Monica. Walk in, there's like half a couch, TV tray, nothing on the walls. On the floor, he has two big plaques. They're big buttons for YouTube you push. One's silver, one's gold. You get these mailed to you from YouTube. The first one's a small one, has a silver play button, like you push on YouTube.
Yeah.
And if you have over 100,000 subscribers to your channel, they mail you an award as a congratulations.
Huh.
If you have over a million subscribers, they mail you a bigger award with a big gold button. And a million subscribers is massive. I mean, that's a huge following.
Yeah.
He has both of them. Not even on the wall, just on the ground, just leaning against the wall. But not even, to me, I'd be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then we're in a kitchen, small little kitchen, oven, fridge, you know, standard college kind of apartment, right?
Yeah.
And he said, great. I said, we're going to do a live streaming magic show. I said, like, okay, so where do you want to, you know, we're used to backdrops and sets.
He's going
to
say what,
sort of
couch?
Exactly. Oh. He said, let's just clean off he had an island. So he cleaned off the island, moved a Twinkie and some Cheese Whiz. And he says, you know, we're going to stream and then we'll just set your tricks up. And Doug was there, Lefty, who plays Lefty in my show. He was there. And I said, Lefty's going to do a couple of tricks. I said Doug because Doug is his real name, but he goes by Lefty on stage. And so I said, you'll jump in and do a few tricks. And then I said, about 12, 15 minutes. I said, okay, great. So well, let us know when you're ready. I said, okay, we'll do it. All right, do it right here. So I'm setting my little tricks as if I'm making a salad. Cucumbers, carrots. I got the car trick. I got the invisible deck. I got the water trick all lined up. And then I got my little, you know, close-up mat. And I'm thinking, you've got to be. And nothing behind me. A white wall. White is like the day you bought the place.
Yeah.
Nothing else. That's it. Just me and in a kitchen. And then, you know, one of the guys is, you know, hanging out with the girl on the couch, chatting away. And then he's got the camera and literally a little Samsung or an iPhone. And he says, all right, I'm. So that's what you're gonna. This is what we're doing here. We're gonna film it with this iPhone. You're just gonna no lights. And they said, we need one light. So they took a track lighting that was shooting against the wall in the living room. And they spun it to shoot at the kitchen, and that's all our lighting. I'm like, great. So that's enough light. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
And he says so, and Doug's looking at me. You know, Lefty. He's like, looking at me, just shaking his head. He's like, we've done so many massive TV shows. Even James has been on a few. He's helped me shoot Masters of Illusion last year.
I remember seeing your picture of on Masters of Illusion.
That's right.
That's what I recognize.
Yeah, and he was running all the sound because he was up in the booth, and you know he's seen massive productions. And so, so he said, "All right, you ready?" I said, "Yeah, let's do this." So he sits his little phone and logs into his Facebook page, who's SoFlo, and these guys who I'm all tied in with. Say, "All right." He's going to introduce you. SoFlo is his name. It stands for South Florida.
Okay.
His real name's Antonio. And he says, He comes in, hey, guys, it's Murray. Murray Magician's here, and I'm here, and we're hanging out at my place and do a little magic for you. So, Murray, there you go. I'm like, well, I guess we're doing it.
And this is live streaming.
Live streaming. So, yeah. So the little camera's up, and I start doing my magic show, you know, in the kitchen, which it's been a long time since I've had a magic show in the kitchen. And as we're videoing, Seth, who's my producer and a good friend now, calls Lefty over to go behind him to quietly to see his, because it shows your viewership on how many people are clicking on.
Oh my gosh.
Literally is watching, and he said, and he pointed to it, within 48 seconds, there was 14,800 people watching in 48 seconds.
Is it like Periscope or something kind of?
No, streaming on Facebook.
Streaming on Facebook. I knew you could stream on Facebook.
Yeah. So that's what, in 48 seconds. Like, shocking. What? You know how many shows I have to do for 14,000 people to see me in Vegas? Yeah. That would like be.
Now, you didn't know that, of course. He's showing him. He's showing him.
Exactly. So he comes up, we finish, and we do our 12, 18 minutes. Lefty does his bit, and we do it all, and he's great. He said, that's amazing. So the response is really good. By the time we finished filming, we looked at how many viewed, and it was 54,000 people viewed that video live. Mm-hmm. And that alone shocks me, and I'm like, that's amazing. No, Lefty's beside himself. He's like, I can't comprehend that. I just doesn't.
Computer.
Why are we going to do a live show in Vegas every day for 200 people when we just sat in the kitchen?
Planet Hollywood shirt.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. I was in the kitchen. Seriously? So we hop in the car, literally 8:30 at night, and drive back to Vegas. 4.5 hour drive. Get back home. Go to bed. Wake up the next morning, and it's at 175,000 views. Today I checked. It's at 729,000 people have watched that video.
Well,
no backdrops. No, we were lighting and the colors and the backdrop, and you have this, nothing, didn't even matter.
Is it
nothing.
On your YouTube channel?
Yeah, it's on my YouTube, you can find it. No, it's on my Facebook.
Facebook. Okay.
Yeah, and I might be up on my YouTube now, it's on my Facebook, on my like page and all that. But it just goes to show you the era that we're in, and I hate to say it's the era of mediocrity, but we're so used to doing things right, the red curtains with the nice stage and the right lighting and the bow tie straight and the da-da. This had nothing to do with that. It had to do...
It's all the reality.
No, you're right. It wasn't a reality. You know? Yeah, they want that voyeuristic. Mm-hmm. We're a very voyeuristic society now. You know, mm-hmm. We thought a car crash is a big deal 30 years ago. Well, every day there's car crashes online, mm-hmm. You know, as a metaphor, you know,
right.
Of people doing stuff like this. And there's an interest out there, you know. And with the internet, people are watching me from Dubai. You know, Korea, China.
So the way of monetizing that, again, I think would be to try to, you know, say, well, I want to put butts in the seat. And so by watching this, you'll come see the show.
It all comes around that.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a radio broadcasting of years past where people would go on and say, well, I'm going to be working at a comedy club. And so they would do a free thing on the radio, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, there you wouldn't have nearly as many people as you're seeing on YouTube that, you know, continues to play over and over and whenever on demand kind of a thing. Same thing like with this, with podcasts.
Yeah.
That people will play over again. And so it seems that you would have a you need to have something to force people to. In other words, if this is just an end-all thing, that's great for promoting yourself, but if you're not really pushing them someplace, it's not a bad thing either, I guess.
No, of course, because it's exposure.
It's exposure.
I mean? Of course. Yeah. I mean, I did...
And the good kind of...
Yes, exactly.
That's true. Exactly. A lot of the pictures look like you're a male model in GQ. You're doing that, you're open. Look at my 12-pack. It's not just a 6-pack.
Thank you. I figured I might as well do it. I look better now than I looked when I was 20. You know what I mean? So there you go. You know, why not?
I'm better now than I did when I was 20.
Exactly, right? Well, you know what's so funny? People make fun of me and say, I can't believe, you know, you're... Back to that again. I said, well, I'm single again. I can do that. And I said, second of all, I said, I challenge any magician to go do it. And I'm thinking, you know, Chris Angel's had his shirt off for the last 20 years. I'm thinking it's time to take my shirt off, you know. And also, it's just really funny because all these girls on Instagram, you know, they got this Panty Tuesday and Ass Wednesday. And they got this, they have all this hashtag.
Really?
Okay. Like, hashtag mm-hmm. Panty Wednesday, mm-hmm. Side Boob Saturday, and whatever the heck it's called, you know, Vagina Wednesday. I don't know what they call these things. So I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to have, and I hashtagged it. Insta-vain, because it's like obviously very vain by doing
right.
it. So every time I put one up, and I've only done it twice, it's put hashtag Insta-vain. And I don't think some people pick it up and they realize, you know, I'm not that stupid to it, obviously, you know. But yeah, so anyways, that's. But I challenge any, you know, magician to go for it. Matt King, go for it. I'm okay with that. Jan Rogan, go for it. You know, Penn Teller, go for it. I'm okay with that.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that.
I can imagine Mac in a.
You know.
Hold on just a minute.
Sure.
Edit that out. Mm-hmm.
going to let that roll over. Yeah, I can imagine Matt King, for example, like in his plaid coat without a shirt, you know.
Exactly, right? I think it's great.
Well, yeah. It's interesting also that actually that the YouTube opportunity that you had came as a result of using Instagram.
Yes.
So it was one social platform that led to this other one.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily them seeing you in your show or seeing you live or knowing anything about it, but it was one social thing that led to another.
Yeah, well, they saw my show live a couple of years ago. Him and his girlfriend came to see it, and they became fans and you know, all that. And that was it. You know, like most people, will take a picture and leave.
Yeah.
But then he started following me on Instagram and Twitter, but I didn't know who he was or what he did. He's, you know, kid and his girlfriend come to the show.
Right.
And they've been watching me, and then all of a sudden I think he had the time to reach out and get a hold of me. And then also, it's not the fact, everyone, and I've had a lot of people come up to me now that the success of this over the last 6 weeks has been so big, that, oh, hey, I got an idea, I want to put this on that on, can you get me in contact? And people don't realize, it's not just because the person has the outlet for exposure, it's because also the stuff we're creating to put on there is pretty cool. It's not just because I'm doing it, it's because when you really look how they're edited with the music and the people that we're using in these, they're really cool videos to watch, and they go somewhere, and they're a certain length of time. It's not just putting something out there that goes viral. It's not going to go viral just because you drop it on a freeway, and it's going to go. You know, people still have to make that. You know, my first video got 40 million views. My second one just got over 2 million. You know, it's quite a big difference because there's a less of interest in me ripping up a girl's newspaper and putting it back together and getting a reaction out of it versus dealing with a cop because, oh, my God, a cop. It's more dramatic. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that.
Well, that had an interesting hook, I think. So. Getting out of a ticket was the idea, basically.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's one of those things where I think people have to, you know, most people sit too long in an opportunity when it's arised, and they think, oh, I might do it. Oh, okay, let me think. I'll call you back later. Let me suss this out. And gone. It's missed. It's
too late.
Of course, the world moves too fast now for sitting on things.
You were mentioning about a publicist earlier, and I had heard someone say before that your best investment would be actually to hire, if you really wanted to be somebody and do something, would be to hire a professional PR firm. Because if you give them $100,000 a year that they could really put you on TV and different shows or whatever to give you the exposure you need, but that might lead to whatever your long-term goal is going to be, which also ties into what I've always said, is that you need to know what your 3, 5, 10, 15-year long-term goals are going to be. If you have no idea where you want to go, then any direction is fine, obviously, but you need to say, okay, well, I want to work in this venue, whether it's going to be in Vegas or Atlantic City, if you want to work on a cruise ship, or if you want to have a local show that you're doing or something, you know, then how much exposure do you want to have, and how would you go about doing it? What you've been talking about is the free way of doing it, certainly. But by going with a PR firm, like you mentioned, Tom Cruise spending a lot of money, obviously look what he's, you know, gotten to, you know, this position. And I think that is some good advice if somebody really wants to pump it up to another level.
Yeah, and you also have to be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror and figure out how good are you? You know what I mean? Like, and what do you have to sell? You know, if you're like, oh, you know what? I want to be a fruit farmer. I'm going to sell strawberries and raspberries. Like, great idea. And you find a distributor and you have the meeting and go, hey, I want to sell strawberries and raspberries. I love them. They go, great. How many acres do you have? And when do you produce them? Oh, I don't have the farm yet. I just like them.
Yeah.
I didn't buy them. I haven't bought the farm yet. I don't have the raspberries yet, but I like raspberries and strawberries. And I figure if I grow them, I can, well, you're a year and a half out. You don't have the land. You got to plant the seeds. You got to find people to pick them.
Right.
And so you got to really be honest with people going, yes, you can drop $100,000 a year on a publicist. But if you have no awards, no accolades, no TV show to brag about, what the hell are they going to brag about? Because they can only be as good as you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can take, you know, a rock and out of the dirt, and it's got dirt on it. And basically a publicist goes, that's a nice rock. That's actually a real nice rock. And it looks like jade.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, jade doesn't look that great until it's polished and cut down. It looks like just a green, dark green rock. You don't even know. Then you take it to the factory, they polish it, make it look like it rounded out, and now it's a really nice piece of jade.
Right.
That's what a PR firm does. They take this rock that's kind of got edges and looks like it could really be something.
Right.
And really inside of it, it is jade. It's worth a lot, meaning you've got a bunch of TV shows behind you. You've got a bunch of awards behind you. You are really good, but nobody knows about it yet.
Right.
And now the PR firm takes the dirt off, washes it, spins it, polishes, and then goes, wow, brings out all those characteristics even more. They even make you sound bigger than life, which is their job. And as long as you are that jade that can be polished, now they can run with it. But if you're just a piece of coal,
right,
and then coal can be good too, but you know, he's not the right, you know, thing. But yeah, you can be a piece of coal, and then you're a coal. You're kind of like, you're stuck with that. You know, so it is important that you got to be honest with yourself. And publicists never make guarantees. They try, and that's the problem with publicists. You can hire a publicist for $3,000-$10,000 a month, and they can say, yes, we're putting you here and here. But if a magazine doesn't want to put you in it, or a TV show doesn't want to put you on it, their job's done. Mm-hmm. That's it. They can only do so much.
Yeah, the publicist actually has the contacts. They're the ones who have. I mean, that's what you're paying for, their contacts with all of those outlets and the media. But you're right. There are people, let's say, who you compared Ellen DeGeneres to a local TV host here, and they're both maybe equally good, but it has a matter of perhaps the reach. Exactly, their publicist as well. And I've been in Nashville. I've been to some clubs and I've heard bands play. I'm thinking, why is it that these guys aren't more famous than somebody else that is equally, or, you know, not nearly as good as what I just heard this group as being? And I mean, they're in the right place and they're playing clubs and trying to get all this experience and everything, but they just don't have the PR behind them, you know, to move them forward. Because I think that we are in a very unique profession in magic, in which that, let's say there are an estimated 50,000 magicians in the world or so, and of that maybe 10% are full-time professional magicians, and then when you get down to that, you have an A category, and then it drops pretty far, pretty quick to the B and the C category of people who are doing regular shows and working and whatnot. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're bad, it's just by any means, they're doing very well professionally, but they are not as well known within the public as, let's say, Penn and Teller, or even among us, among Johnny Thompson, or whomever, you know.
But they're still brilliant.
Exactly.
Right. You know, but publicists are great, because while you're sitting here talking to me, or I'm talking to you, they're out there making 17 phone calls an hour, trying to get me on something. So, whereas for me to do that, I got to make a fake name up, I got to pretend I'm not me, because, you know, when you're selling yourself, hey, I want to get on the Ellen Show, oh great, who do you represent? Me! I'm the greatest! And I'm the best, and I really think you should book me. That never goes over that well.
No.
But if you say, hey, I'm Bob Sanders calling for Murray Sawchuk, I just don't know if you know, he just did some new things on Pawn Stars, he got some YouTube stuff, he's got a show in Vegas, you really got to have this guy on, he's exploding, da-da-da-da-da, you really should look at his stuff. Well, I'd love to. Your name again, what is your name again? It's Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders, that's it. And I'm calling for Murray Sacha, really good magician. He's amazing. And you and I, trust me, I've made many fake email addresses up to send letters to people that could book me, not me, because I didn't have the money at the time to hire a publicist or all that stuff. You just got to remember, when it comes down to chat time, you better find a good friend that wants to be named Bob Sanders or, you know, Shelley Sims or whatever you want to go with, you know.
Someone's got a different voice, though.
Exactly.
With you.
You know,
so. A friend of mine some years ago, is a school song magician, and when he would go and talk with the principals of the schools and trying to book his school shows, that he would bring his he had a person who would book the shows for him, basically send out the contracts and everything. And so they would talk about the show and whatever, and then when the principal or whomever was the buyer for the school, the high school or grade school or whatever he was working, he would say, how much it's going to be? And he would leave the room. He said, that's between you and her, you know. And so that way that he didn't have to, you know, negotiate for his own fee. You know, she could then try to sell him on that, say, well, it's going to be X dollars. And they'll say, well, that's more than what we thought. Well, I'm going to have to go and talk with him to see whether he would accept less or something.
And it's nice because you have the other person to bounce things off. So if it is a good deal, the worst is if they go, hey, do you want $5,000 for the show and it's just you? You have to make that decision right away. There's no excuse. But if you go, hey, I got to talk to my assistant about this, my manager, I think it sounds right.
Yeah.
But let me just see with our schedule and our flight times, if I can make it in and do it for that price. I'll get back to you in a day or so. So now, as long as you have that second devil's advocate, or you kind of play that card, good cop, bad cop, as they call it, then you can go, hey, give me a couple hours, let me chat to, you know, even when you're married, can I chat to the wife, or can I chat to the girlfriend, or whatever. It gives you that moment to figure out, do we really want to go to this thing, or do we want, you know, and it's just a way to buy
time. You know, I had Doc Hilford was telling me one time that whenever that you are going to be asked, if you do get asked to to do something different. In other words, there's a change in your contract. You're supposed to be working, let's say, from noon to 5 or something. You say, well, we're going to change the time, and actually we need you to go until 6 o'clock or something, that you should not be so quick to be flexible and say, oh, yeah, no problem, whatever, no worries. One thing that will show, of course, you're pretty flexible and you're willing to work with them and you're a good guy and they want to come back and work with you. But what he is saying, and this makes sense also, is say, let me get back to you. In other words, that they should know your time is valuable and that you're not just kind of hanging around waiting and you got nothing else going on. 100%. Whether you do or not, you know, to say, can I check my schedule? I have to make a phone call because I may have to move something else around.
Yes.
And that way that when you get back to them and saying, yeah, I was able to do that, then because at first they're going, wait a minute, I thought this was going to be an easy thing, you know, just a quick fix. And now they're, you know, sitting there for like maybe an hour before you call them back and sweating it out. And they're going to say, oh, yes, I can do this, you know, this time. And that way they feel like they've done you a favor. Instead of you doing them a favor.
Definitely. Yeah. As well as, you know, it shows them that your time is valuable, exactly what you said. You know what I mean? That it is valuable. It's kind of like when you go to a doctor's office. You're always waiting.
Yeah.
But if you cancel, well, you can't get in for another 3 weeks because that's, if you could get in right away, like, oh my goodness, how good a doctor are they? Although it'd be great for a time.
Yeah.
You just want to jump right in, but it also shows a certain amount of worth. You know, you walk into a doctor's office, there's like 20 people sitting there, like, wow, this guy must be great.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And whether they time that out or it's planned or not, it's a great visual.
Now, for some people who may want to be on television, do reality shows or do whatever, talk shows, et cetera, like you said, you've done hundreds. I know that it's a lot of smiling and dialing, you know, certainly. What would you recommend or how should somebody go about trying to accomplish that?
Well, say yes to everything. Like if there's a TV show that comes up, say yes. You know, I always say yes to everything. James has helped me on a lot of TV shows and it'll be something random. Like I was on Wipeout, which is a show that no magician needs to be on ever. but I saw the casting and there's castings on websites online all the time. LA Casting, Star Now Casting, Reality One. There's a bunch of sites. You can just Google them. You can do local castings, you know, for local agencies
Central
here.
Casting,
and,
yeah,
every city you're in, you know, and then you know, think outside the box. You know, if you see a home show, say HGTV or TLC, do you have that one room that you just want to turn into your best hobby room? Call us now. We're looking for applicants. Well, you know what? Say you got an empty room. You want to make your magic room. You might be your magic room.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you know what? Doesn't matter. It's not going to be your magic room right now. So you write and say, hey, it's one room in my house and my wife's allowing me because we got, you know, she got her space, I got mine. It's like a man cave, but I'm a magician of 20 years and I really want to make it into my magic room with illusions and a library and everything. I want like a secret door that opens and closes. Would you be in? Well, that's beautiful. They're like, because don't forget, producers of TV shows need your ideas too because it makes their life easier. They got to produce 16, 36, 26 episodes
a season.
You know, it's a lot of work to be creative all that time. And so when you hand them a gift like that, and you're a magician and you want a magic room, like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. This is great. Mm-hmm. Let's just, and then all of a sudden, now you're on there, you might get a trick in there, which usually you do, and it's about you and your magic room as a magician. Mm-hmm. Now you may have to spend the money on redoing the room. A lot of those shows, you'll have to spend the cost, but they'll spend the labor and all that.
Yeah.
But if you do want a magic room and you can afford it a little bit, and I don't say ever spend money to get on TV, but indirectly, it's going to give you 12 minutes of TV time because usually they do two scenarios, a half an hour episode or whatever.
Right.
Great exposure, and now you've put yourself as a magician on a home building show. What are the chances? So, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's not a talent show. It's not America's Got Talent. It's not a variety
show.
Doesn't
have to be, then. I see what you're saying.
Not at all. We're so, like, wait a minute, you know, somebody's like, we're doing, you know, fun water sports in your pool, a summer thing for TLC or VH1. You know, what's your fun summer thing to do in the backyard? You know, and maybe it's to do a magic show in water. Sounds ridiculous,
right.
But you have a picture, you run out in your pool or find a pool, and you put your tuxedo on, get a picture of you with, you can buy floating cards, they're actually foam cards, put them around the water, stand there in a tuxedo like this, you know, holding your hands up, these cards around, you go, have you ever had a kid's magic show in the water? Well, I can do that. You send that to a producer, they go, that's really weird, but that's great TV. How do you do a magic? And then what you do is for, you know, you come up with tricks you can do in the water. Sponge balls would work, you know, silk in hand. You come with all this Chinese rings under the water. You can, and all of a sudden, people, how the hell did he get into a summer, kick your summer off doing a magic show in the pool? Who does that? Well, that's me. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm on TV almost every week because I'll see something and go, how can I spin it to put my career in that TV show when it has no right being in there.
Right.
What would be interesting? And then if you're, you know, if it's close enough to kind of making it sound cool, producers love that stuff. So really think outside the box. Just because it doesn't say variety casting or whatever.
Right.
You know, one of my first reality shows ever, and I cannot get it offline now, is Blind Date, you know. Years ago I went on, and oh boy. And that, I did it, and I went on as a magician, and we did the Day of the Magic Castle. And when I pitched the idea to them, when I went in for the casting, I said, I'll only do this if the date's at the Magic Castle. And I said, well, we've been trying to shoot there for 4 years. They won't allow us to do it. I said, I know them there. I said, let me make a phone call. I don't think it's going to be a problem. And we give them exposure, of course, because they can bring dates to a castle, which is great for publicity. And then I could get the camera crew in there and shoot because...
They never get to shoot.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, it's hard to get in there, you know, if you know the right people sometimes. So so that's how it worked. So I helped them out, and then I got what I wanted. So, I was, you know, and... And so I got exposure on that one. Yeah, so.
Speaking of Blind Date and exposure and everything, let me kind of go in a little bit of a different direction about something that was in the Las Vegas magazine, of course, that was your divorce with, from Chloe. You'd been together for like 3 years or so?
Yeah, 3.5 years, friends for 8 years, you know, met in 2007.
And she wasn't a magician or hadn't been interested in magic at all before necessarily. And then after you got together, then she was your assistant with Lefty there at the Flamingo. No, at Flamingo. You were at
Tropicana.
Tropicana.
That's right.
And of course, then now you're over then at the Planet Hollywood. And she continued then not only as assistant, but started doing some magic of her own that you
correct.
Were, okay. And you were teaching her, I guess?
Yeah, she liked magic and she wanted to get tired of dancing. She was in a burlesque show, you know, and she wanted to, you know, wanted to, you know, as a dancer, you have a shelf life of maybe 20 years, you know, or whatever. And she's smart. And if you're lucky, and she's smart in that sense going, hey, I want to find something else I can branch into to keep going on because there's always some 18-year-old from Iowa coming to Vegas that's, you know, that's ready to work hard. Exactly. So I had a magic act, a parasol act with umbrellas I used to do on cruise ships. And I never did. I always used it for extra time somewhere. She said, hey, could you teach me that? Would you mind me doing it? I said, yeah, you could do it and do it in the show and be cute. It's umbrellas. It's better for a female magician to do that than a male. But I always did it because it was just tricks and it worked. It was colorful and it worked on cruise ships. So I taught her that and she did it in a few venues around town and she did a great job, you know, and got the bug that way. And then she put it on YouTube and she did one of my illusions, a tube's egg trick at the Tropicana. And so she had that online. And of course, AGT and all those people search and look for stuff online, you know, and they found her. And then BGT found her, Britain's Got Talent, and said, hey, can you do this? And we chatted about it. I said, yeah, go for it. You want to do it. I got the builders and the people, you know.
Right.
So I put her in touch with my builders to build stuff, and she picked the tricks that she wanted to do, you know, which were a little bit larger than I wanted because I'm thinking it's in a country miles away. And I know it's her country. You know, she's from England. And she went for it. So we helped script it, and along with Lefty and I and a bunch of friends, we helped her out. And she did really well on it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think
she went pretty far in the Britain's Got Talent, too, didn't she?
First female illusionist ever to make it in Britain's Got Talent, which is phenomenal, you know. And, you know, I think she, saw, a new light being a headliner, you know, and the fame, because she really got a lot of press over there for 2 months, really a lot. It was because she was tied into Playboy, you know, and being a magician, all, and they love taking a little piece of dust and making a, you know, a house out of it. Yeah. And of course, me being the magician husband at the time, you know, they all love that spinoff. And she wanted to run with it, you know. And what are the chances, though, that I thought magic would bring us together and magic actually pushed us completely apart?
That's interesting.
Can you believe that? What are the chances? I never thought that would happen in a million years. And she was looking at shows to do as an act, like The Impossibilist in England, you know, a Franz Harari show over in Macau. The Illusionist, and of course, Chris Angel's, you know, Supernaturalist.
Yeah.
And so she's pitching everybody, and, you know, she had her little tape from BGT and a few other things. You know, she had the exposure, so there's something to run on.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you've been on stage all your life. We can always build something around you. You know what I mean? And as you get better.
Okay. Yeah. Well, she looks attractive on stage.
Yeah.
And
so she enjoyed that, and she saw an opportunity, and she went for it, you know, and that was the rest is history, and I never saw that happening in my world, but you know, I always said I wish her the best, you know, and what she.
But she's working with Chris Angel then now. Is that
right? Well, no, she's working or not. I've never seen her perform with him. I've never heard that she's working with him at all. I know, you know, from what I've heard in the grapevine, I know they're together and they're a couple.
Okay.
You know? But that's all I've known.
But she's not working on the Cirque show with him there.
I don't know what they're doing. Okay. I don't know any of that. You know, they might be. I think originally, while we were still married, that was the intention, you know, when she was meeting with him, you know, and we were still married. But I know things have changed a little bit, you know, but once again, I'm not in that world, you know.
Well, then change your subject completely then about just in Las Vegas in general. It's hard to wrap up over here just since this is going to be like towards the end of the year. A lot of things have happened in Las Vegas and that kind of a year in review of Las Vegas and some shows that have opened and closed. You're closed at, as you said, at Tropicana and then opened again then later in another venue.
That's right.
The Planet Hollywood that worked out for you.
Yeah, it'll be a year. It'll be a one. It'll be a year, our 1 year anniversary, December 20th.
Oh, December 20th.
Yeah, December 20th.
That's right. It was right around Christmas last year.
Yeah, great movie. That really worked out well. And the reason I left Tropicana is I got kicked out of Tropicana from Jan Roven. And I mean this in the nicest way because I love Jan and Frank as producer. But they were in the big room and I was in the small room. They wanted the big room. You know,
he's the guy from Germany that took over.
That's correct. Yeah, great guy. Good,
good show.
Yeah, and he wanted the big room. Well, no compete, you know, having two magic shows. Yeah. He had more money and a bigger show. So I got my 30-day notice and everyone was nice. I had no issues with it. I mean, obviously it shocked me when I got the call. I was like, holy... You know, but then I, like anything I do, I put my pants back on, do up the belt, and I go, let's go, like anything I've done. Hit the ground running. I've done this all my life, whether I'm lost a job, whether I got a divorce. When anything negative happens in my world, I times my energy to my job 10 times because that's, I know I can control that, you know, and I run like hell. And I've always done that in my life.
That's
That's probably why I become successful. And so I started talking to properties, and then Planet Hollywood was interested, and they're Caesars Entertainment, so it's a massive company.
Right.
And our numbers literally tripled by moving there, you know, and the exposure tripled and everything. And I mean, it's funny how this whole year has been one of those years where this, you know, this summer I lost my father, you know, he was in his 80s, lost the wife, you know, but then on the back end of this, I'm celebrating New York Planet Hollywood and, and I've released like 5 or 6 videos on YouTube and they've all gone viral. And it's crazy. We were walking around, where the heck we were in Cozumel or somewhere, or even just here. People come up to me, you know, I'd say 9 out of 10 people now walk up to me, and this is only in 6 weeks, they come up to me and go, you're the guy from YouTube.
That's amazing.
As if the last 20 years I did
20
nothing.
20 years of TV and radio and everything, it's like, YouTube.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
but, you know, you forget 40 million, you know, when
I'm
I did
on MySpace.
You and Justin Timberlake.
I'm trying to figure it out.
You know, but you see that, and you know, I did, when I did America's Got Talent, I had 22 million viewers watch that when I vanished the train, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that was a national TV show. But it's so hard to understand. You know, we did this short little video. It took 18 minutes to shoot. No big camera crews, no nothing. And 40 million viewers. So with the year I've had, it's amazing how the years, at the end of the year now, has turned out phenomenal. I mean, I've been very lucky.
Well, what else has happened in Vegas as far as the other shows that have come? That I mean, it's, of course, you and Matt King are the only ones in the afternoon magic shows.
There's nothing going on in Vegas.
Exactly. Well, what shows of clothes that you can think of? You know any shows, James?
They closed.
Or opened or moved. I mean, Jabberwockies, their show.
They're in my old room now.
Yeah, they moved from Luxor to... Jabberwockies, a dance-type show with masks. They were on America's Got Talent as well. But they were
great dance kids.
Yeah. Used to be at Luxor. Sure. Now they moved to MGM Grand. Blue Man Group moved from the Monte Carlo back to the Luxor where
back
they were originally.
Luxor, yeah.
They were there originally. I thought they went to the Venetian for a while.
Oh, yeah,
they were.
Yeah. Yeah. Everywhere, yeah. Monte Carlo, they went to another room, too. I think
The new arena's opening up.
The brand new arena. It's 20,000 seats or something.
Yeah.
Or even bigger. 40 or 20. 20. It's MGM Grand and George Strait's going to open the arena. Just what we need is another arena, but it's massive.
Is that the one that Elton John and Celine Dion played?
No, that's Caesar's Palace. It's only 4,000 seats.
Only
20,000 seats.
What?
It's a real arena. Oh, no,
they're trying
to
get a hockey team. You know,
oh,
so
I
this
see.
This is part of that. You know, let's build an arena, then hopefully we can get that hockey team. And
I see.
Yeah, and of course we have what Matt Franco came in to link.
Yeah.
He opened there 6 months
How's
ago.
How's his show doing?
Great. And as far as I know, it's good. Nice guy. Mm-hmm. Nice kid, you know. Yeah. And went to his opening, you know. Mm-hmm. Went to his opening along with Stan Allen. It was there. And, you know, Rory Johnson, a few of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, good show. The kid's great, you know. He's very enjoyable. I think he's a good face of magic, you know.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Mac's still running. Jan Roven's running. Copperfield, of course.
What do you recommend? When people will come to town and say you want to see Vegas shows, and you and Mac are in the afternoon, but then what do you want to see in the evenings?
Well, you know, what would you recommend?
Rat Pack is back.
Rat Pack is back. He runs that show as well. Rat Pack is back, yeah.
That's great.
You know?
Love them.
And for me, I love Absinthe, the show at Caesars.
Okay.
Now, if you go to that show, you got to go with an open mind. Because it's phenomenal talent. The acts, it's like an old school German variety show. You know what I mean? Like the GOP or the Winter Garden or something like that Germany. They have 6-7 acts, and these acts are the best. They're phenomenal. They're not just good, they're great.
Yeah.
In a circle tent, like an old mirror tent, the Belgian mirror tents.
Okay.
And
the stage is about this big.
Yeah, stage is about 6.5 feet around, yeah. And it's a great show. But it's very taboo. There's certain things. There's no nudity, but there's words that you probably never want to ever hear in your life again.
Okay.
But it's so over the line that it becomes great and funny. It's a great show. I brought my mother to it, and she's in her early 70s, and she thought it was great because she couldn't believe they went that far.
Yeah.
But it was so far that it became very funny. It's very well done. It's a big success. Either show, I love Donnie and Marie. You know what I mean? I never liked Donnie and Marie professionally because I was never I kind of missed that era. They were there.
Yeah.
And I missed them. I liked them to death. They're good friends of mine. Mm-hmm. But the show, I thought, well, you know, it's not really my era. And I went to see their show. Phenomenal show. They get like 3 standing ovations in the show. First 20 minutes standing ovation. And if you ever want to learn to be an entertainer, and this goes for every magician listening to this thing, any entertainer, just because it's not magic doesn't mean you can't learn anything. Donnie and Marie, if you want to learn how to be an entertainer, watch some of the old performers, because the rhythm and the beginning, the middle, and the end are all the same, how to build a show. Just because they're singing doesn't mean it's so different that you can't do the same thing with magic.
Sure.
Don't even really know exactly how long a story should be, how long one should sing, how long the other one should sing, when one should leave the stage, what lighting they should use. Donnie actually does all his own lighting.
Huh.
You know, and he can afford somebody. He's got, you know, both of them are very well off. But he's that particular. He owns the lights as well. I mean, he's very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what songs to sing, how long the melody should be.
Yeah.
The band and what the dancers do, phenomenal shows. If you ever want to learn, get a 101 education entertainment, go see Donnie and Marie. I don't care how old you are or how young you are.
Yeah.
You'll love the show if you're looking at it from how to put a really cool show on.
Good advice.
It's just phenomenal. So those are my favorite shows in Vegas, just because they're good shows. They're solid, good value. You know?
Well, as we start to wrap up over here, as you know, that the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. And James, I'm going to ask you and Murray both about what your magic word is. It doesn't necessarily mean a word. It could be a phrase. It could be your motto, something that is your philosophy of life, what you live by. What do you wake up in the morning that drives you, that makes you successful? And I've asked you about this, I think, Murray. And then, of course, that can change from day to day or time to time. So what comes to your mind?
What comes to my mind, and I've really lived it this year, and I understand it, I believe it, and I'm living it, is it doesn't matter what happens to you in life. Because you know what? Happens, and it does to everybody. People live, people die, people leave each other, people come together. You get jobs, you lose jobs. But my saying is, no matter what happens to you in life, it's not what happens to you in life, it's how you personally deal with it. That's the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what makes the success of you. Because nobody is worried about you more than you.
And you, right.
So,
James?
Yeah, kind of the same. You know, don't sweat the small stuff is my thing. You know, it's like life comes at you. You got to roll with the punches and just keep going. You know, and my thing is, the less stress in my life, the better. And just...
Yeah, and I would think in Las Vegas it'd be pretty stressful. I mean, certainly that there's something coming at you all the time.
You can't take things personal.
And that's a good point.
That's what
good
people
point.
Do. They work in the casinos and, you know, we're constantly being bombarded with a brand new, you know, airport drops off, you know, 300 people every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just constant. And they don't know you, and some people are here to have a good time. Some people get here, they lose their money, they're angry, and they take it out on you, but they don't know you. It's not personal, so just... You never see him again.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's it's important. Good aspect to say. Well, listen, thank you guys very much. I appreciate you being on The Magic Word over here.
Oh, I want to plug one thing. Can I plug something, Scott?
That's why you're here.
Okay. I want to plug one because I just remembered. I actually forgot I'm doing it. And I didn't forget that I'm doing it. It's because it's something early next year. A buddy of mine owns a studio called Show Concepts, and he knows my history. And I've never taught classes. I do one lecture every 10 years. I don't lecture. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, we do this and we chat about stuff.
Yeah.
But he said, hey, Murray, why don't you do a master class of, you know, your promotion and marketing, putting an act together?
Because
you're most people who do these are ones that used to do it or want to do it. And they're not doing it right now. And you're so in the mix right now. You're on, you know, you're on 6 different TV shows a year consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You have a show on the Las Vegas Strip. You're now on YouTube getting over 40 million likes and views, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously know how to promote and you're touring and everything. It'd be amazing if somebody could pick your brain because you're really in the know now. Like, you're right on the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why don't you do a master class for 3 days, you know. And there's these actors in L.A. doing it. You know, Kevin Spacey's doing a master class. And I think Dustin Hoffman's doing one. You know, it's not cheap. for them to do it. But sure. Can you imagine learning from those guys? They've done it, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So I said, yeah, let's do it. So we're doing a masterclass in February for 3 days. It's advertised in Magic Magazine as well, but you can go to murraymasterclass.com, and it's for 3 days. You're going to come to Vegas, and I believe it's the 19th, 20th, and 21st. And you come and hang with me for 3 days, and you also might get an opportunity to perform my show, do a five-minute piece in my show at Planet Hollywood. And we're going to have guest speakers come in, and we're going to really develop an act. You're going to develop personality, learn how to market yourself, and actually how to get a booking and, you know, try to make yourself famous.
You this be limited so. To how many people?
Only 21 people. That is it. So if it can be even less, it'd be better. But 21 is the most we're taking. And I'm not planning on doing it again. This is a one-time thing. And, you know, sure, down the road maybe. But it's not going to be an ongoing thing. I'm not trying to make it because I really don't have the time for this because...
It's something you just want to share.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's going to be, so it's a three-day course in February in Vegas. So come hang out if you want to hear more of my opinion.
Yeah.
Or at least my ideals.
So you get you get 3 days or more of what we've just talked about here.
Of course,
more.
Sure you do. Yeah,
more in depth.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Sounds great. So. I'm glad that you added that then,
there
too.
There you go. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. I appreciate Murray, and thank you, James. Appreciate you guys being guests over here on the Magic Word Podcast. And so, until next time, this is Scotty out.
Merry Christmas.
I want to again thank Murray and his friend James for being my guests here on the Magic Word Podcast this holiday season. I hope that you've enjoyed it as well and have learned something that you can incorporate into your own promotion and publicity campaign to help make you perhaps a celebrity in your own neck of the woods. I also want to thank all of those people who during this past year have contributed to financially to the Magic Word Podcast and have become friends of the Magic Word. I certainly appreciate your financial support, and in particular, just recently, I want to give a little shout out to DJ Devaney, who had increased his support a little bit here towards the end of the year on patreon.com/themagicword. If you're interested in joining those who are supporting the Magic Word, now's a good time. Go over there and check it out. And if you want to just give a one-time donation, then that's certainly great also. And I thank you all for your support, whether it's a one-time or an ongoing pledge of a financial donation to the Magic Word. It certainly helps to defray a lot of the costs that are associated with producing this. I also hope that you've enjoyed hearing a little bit of Frank Sinatra, one of my favorites and perhaps one of yours, but this has just recently been a celebration of his 100th birthday, and so I thought that you might enjoy a little bit of holiday music from the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra. So until next time, stay well, get booked, and keep it swinging, baby. Merry Christmas. This is Scotty out.
Christmas.